Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai. And in this podcast, I'm going to talk about FIRE, Financial Independence Retire Early, and my search for FIRE, as well as my latest retirement portfolio review. So I hope everybody did their taxes, they got them done, or they filed an extension, and you got some money back, just a little bit, because that shows that you did it just right. But it hit me the other day, because I've been spending so much time on my taxes and just other stuff, that I've got to get my stuff together, act together, if I plan to retire a second time around. So the first attempt at retirement lasted only for about, 9 to 12 months, let's say, until I started feeling a little too sheepish telling anyone I retired at age 34 in 2012. Although my retirement portfolio was generating about $80,000 a year in passive income at the time, I started itching for more because I was thinking about the future, right? Okay, $80,000 is enough for me to survive, but what if I wanted my wife to retire with me and not have to work? And then what if we had a family, right? So I was like, well, I better keep on going. So I just got back to focusing on Financial Samurai and this podcast and, you know, obviously the site, which has grown since 2012. But 7 years later, I'm running out of steam. You know, and it's like 4 a.m. waking up, trying to do some work, writing, because you can't write or create at all when there's a baby screaming at you. And then, you know, just lasting until like 10 p.m. every single night. So I'm running out of steam, and I've already conducted multiple calls with boutique investment banks, private equity shops, and larger media companies on the potential sale of Financial Samurai after its 10-year anniversary in July of 2019. And I know it's a little bit sad, but don't be sad because there's plenty of other great sites out there if I do sell. And it's something like, you know, you just got to move on sometimes. And I'm not sure whether I want to sell, but it's definitely something I'm thinking about in terms of retiring a second time around, right? So, you know, besides tentatively convincing my wife to go back to work after our son enters preschool at 2 years, 5 months old, the last thing I need to do is make sure our after-tax retirement portfolios are generating enough income to cover our desired lifestyle just in case Financial Samurai is sold and my wife can't get a reasonable job in a field of interest that's relatively close by, right? She's not going to get just any job. It's got to be something that pays well, that utilizes her services, and that tickles her interest. So, you know, ever since 2012, since I left full-time work, I feel blessed. I feel blessed because I've been coaching high school tennis for the past 3 years. That's something I've always wanted to do, which is to be a teacher and mentor to kids. I've been writing almost daily on Financial Samurai. Now I'm doing this podcast on occasion. Still need to kind of make it professional, but who cares? And then, you know, just traveling around the world, something that we've always enjoyed doing when we were younger. And now being a stay-at-home dad since 2017. But like all good things, they must come to an end, and we must frequently adjust and forecast our future in order to try to elongate these happy times. And I talked to my dad, it was interesting, I talked to my dad before publishing this post and doing this podcast, whether readers and listeners would even care about, you know, my latest retirement portfolio update, right? It's just about our family. And I was like, well, maybe they don't care, but you know what? I care. I care because this is my site, my podcast, and this is something that's important for anybody else who wants to retire early or just retire at a normal time. Here is some good thoughts and things to do before you take that leap of faith. So here are 5 tips for building a healthy retirement portfolio that everybody should follow. First one, you got to save until it hurts each month. If you're not hurting each month, you're not saving enough, right? It's just like braces. If you don't feel pain in your teeth, nothing is happening. So most people think saving for retirement in their 401k or IRA is enough. I'm saying it's not enough. It's not enough by far because you need to build an after-tax retirement portfolio to generate passive income, right? And so I encourage everybody to max out their 401k and or IRA and then save at least 20% of your after-tax 401k and after-tax income to an after-tax investment portfolio. 2, focus on income-producing assets. You know, when you're young, you can take a lot of risk. I went all in really on high-octane growth stocks, right? Internet stocks, tech stocks in particular. I was way overweight that in my 20s and 30s. And now from a stock portfolio perspective, I am still really overweight tech, but from an overall perspective, I'm underweight stocks. But at some point, you've got to get off the rocket ship, right? Hopefully, you've made a lot of capital gains. And what you want to do is convert those capital gains into steady, lower volatility, income-producing assets like, you know, dividend stocks, certificates of deposit, municipal bonds, government treasury bonds, corporate bonds, and real estate. These should all be on your top of the list when you're planning on retiring. You don't want to just give up all your gains and just have it go poof. So that's something interesting to think about. Three, you want to start as soon as possible. I've been saving and investing aggressively since 1999, ever since I was told I had to get into work at 5:30 a.m. So this stuff takes a long time, generating enough passive income, right? Long gone are the days where we could earn, you know, 5% plus in a CD or online savings account because rates have just gone down, down, down. Four, calculate how much retirement income you actually need. It's always good to have a goal because if you don't have a goal, you're going to lose motivation and focus. A good baseline goal is to generate enough retirement income, passive income, to cover all your basic living expenses such as food, shelter, transportation, and clothing. And then once you hit your basic income or basic living expense goal, then you can start focusing on your wants one by one. If your annual expense number is $50,000, for example, divide that figure by your expected rate of return or comfortable withdrawal rate to see how much capital you'll need to save. So if you think, you know, expected rate of return or withdrawal rate is 4%, you're going to need at least $1.25 million in after-tax retirement portfolio, and probably closer to $1.5 million given you got to pay taxes, right? And then finally, make sure you're properly diversified. You know, we all think we're investment geniuses in real estate and the stock market in particular over the past 10 years because everything has just gone pretty much up, 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 except for in 2018. The first rule of financial independence, folks, is to never lose money. We saw a lost decade for tech stocks between 2000 and 2010. And then, of course, the housing bust, you know, just crushed many cities between 2007 and 2010. And that took, gosh, I guess another 8 years to 10 years to break highs in most cities. So if you really lose a lot of money, you lose a lot of time. And time, at the end of the day, is the most important thing. All right, so now that I've added some value to y'all, I just want to review my retirement portfolio. And something I didn't mention in the post is that this is actually only my retirement portfolio. It doesn't include my wife's after-tax investments at all because I just want to stay conservative so that just in case my portfolio just goes poof, we still have my wife's, and that's just how we like to do things. So, one of the most interesting things about my retirement portfolio is that I have yet to stress test my after-tax retirement portfolios because I received a severance that paid out enough money to live on for 5 years. It literally paid a chunk of change every single year in 2017, and it was just kind of crazy. It was just a gift that kept on giving. So that gave me a lot of confidence to just do whatever. And then my wife, she negotiated her severance at the end of 2014. So she gave me, you know, two and a half years of feeling comfortable because I was just on her health insurance. And then since we both, since she left in 2015 for good, Financial Samurai started generating a livable income stream as well. And so this positive sequence of events is why planning is so important. And it's frankly why quitting your job to retire early is a really suboptimal move. You've got nothing to lose to just ask for a severance, folks. So just be aware. Don't let your fear or your belief that negotiating a severance cannot happen to you prevent you from just asking a question. So ideally, we want to live on between $15,000 to $18,000 a month in after-tax income to live our best lives while raising one or two children in an expensive city like San Francisco or Honolulu. So overall, updating for 2019, after 2018, the 2018 number was around $210,000 in passive income. Our passive income is now $244,500 gross. you know, give or take several thousand dollars, or about $20,375 a month. Now, after tax, I'm going to use a 20% effective tax rate because investment income is lower than W-2 income. It's taxed lower than W-2 income. The monthly number is $16,300, and the yearly number is $195,600. So this amount of money should be enough for us to live a comfortable retirement lifestyle in a high cost of living city. Now, we're actually looking to try to boost that by a couple thousand dollars from about $16,000 to $18,000 because we're expecting another $1,800 in expenses, after-tax expenses, once our son goes to preschool at the end of this year in 2019. And then if he can't get into a good public school, grade school in San Francisco is like, it's like $3,000 a year. So we're always going to try to keep on saving and investing. And we're able to continuously save about 30% of our after-tax investment income, I think, for a rainy day. So about $5,000. We've been saving over 50% of our income, you know, for a couple decades now. So it'd be weird not to continuously save. So just going quickly through the chart, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 main categories. The first category, risk-free savings, 5.1% of total passive income, about $1,045 a month. You know, I think we should all aim for about 5% to 10% of our investment income or our net worth in relatively risk-free savings. Not relatively, absolutely risk-free savings. So we're talking CDs or online money market accounts or just normal savings accounts. Thanks to the Fed raising rates multiple times since the end of 2015, we're now able to make 2.45% from a 3-month treasury bond or an online savings account. So think about it. After making so much money in the stock market and the real estate market since 2009, we can now lock in our gains and protect it and beat inflation still with a reasonable rate of risk-free return. So that's pretty darn good. Next, stocks and bonds accounts for 37% of total investment income, so $7,560 a month. My house fund is something that I pay particularly close attention to because I have a purpose, which is to buy a house, right? And so that fund, after a strong 2019, is really conservatively allocated now. It's only 20% stocks, and they're all tech stocks, and 80% bonds, mostly municipal bonds, because I plan to protect the principal. The house fund portfolio had a really nauseating $400,000 swing of down about 13% in the fourth quarter of 2018 to up 23% from the bottom. So I don't want to go through that again. And that was just like, what, $400,000? We could happily live off that for 3 years, right? That was just too much volatility for me. So overall, my stock and bond portfolio is up 9.2%, and that's fine. The S&P 500 is up almost 16%, so it's underperforming, but the S&P 500 is obviously just stocks. So if you look at a blended portfolio, yeah, it's about right. I have a consistent target of trying to return 2 to 3 times the 10-year bond yield, and the 10-year bond yield is at 2.5%. So my target return is 5% to 7.5%. And you should think about returns always relative to a risk-free rate, which is the 10-year bond yield, and how much equity risk premium you're willing to take, how much risk you're willing to take to try to earn a higher rate of return. Everything is relative when it comes to investing and finance, and that's what I really want you guys to take away when you're coming to Financial Samurai and thinking about investing in XYZ asset. All right, the next category is real estate. My favorite asset class to build long-term wealth because it's understood, it provides utility, and it's much less volatile. So it accounts for 32% of 2019's retirement income, and that's $6,550 a month. In the past, it used to be 60%, but then I sold my San Francisco rental house in 2017 just to simplify life. I ended up reinvesting $600,000 of the proceeds, mostly in dividend-paying stocks, $600,000 of the proceeds in mostly municipal bonds, and then $550,000 of the proceeds in real estate crowdfunding. So $800,000 in a real estate crowdfunding portfolio, and then $10,000 in an individual investment when I first started out, just to kind of get my feet wet. I did get a surprise $45,598 distribution on April 16th from the RealtyShares DME fund. So I'm glad that was a good surprise, I guess. But also I was kind of bummed out because it was my Class A Austin multifamily property that basically provided a 24.6% return over 2 years. I'm bullish on Austin. I think it's probably one of the next Silicon Valleys, if not already. So I'd rather just own in that area for like 10 plus years. So far the fund is returning a 10% cash on cash return net of fees. And I plan to reinvest at least half the proceeds in two other platforms to diversify my holdings and platform exposure. Overall, the fund has 17 investments across 12 states and 6 property types. So I think that's pretty good, but I just want to continue to diversify. In terms of my physical real estate, I haven't raised the rent on my 2-2 condo in San Francisco for almost 3 years. It's at $4,200 a month. It should be closer to $4,600 a month. But the tenants are good. So when you have good tenants, I think you just treat them well. And I'm just going to keep the rent the same until they decide to move out. It's just two roommates. So inevitably, they're probably going to move out. The next physical property is our Lake Tahoe property. And it's coming back to life because we had an epic 2018-2019 winter season, dumping snow everywhere. It's been raining so much here in San Francisco, so it's snowing up in the mountains. And I can't wait to take my boy up there to touch the snow and just run around. It's been a dream of mine since I first bought the property in 2007. All right, final category, alternative income. $5,220 a month, accounting for about 26% of total retirement income. And this $5,220 a month is dominated by how to engineer your layoff book sales. This is something that has been steadily growing since I first published the book in 2012. I wrote a new forward in 2019 and updated some of the data. And for the past 4 months, my wife has been updating the book for a third edition launch in the second half of 2019. And I'm really excited about this because we have even more case studies and more strategies to help people better negotiate a severance. We'll probably also raise the book price by 15% as well. And it sounds like I'm just saying this, but the positive feedback we continuously get from readers has been overwhelming. And I don't want to just publish all these positive data points because it's probably going to get annoying. So I'll probably just put it in the book and I'll just highlight these case studies on what readers have done. So many readers have told me they could not believe they were able to negotiate a severance. They didn't think it was possible until they read the book, and it gave them a framework and courage to ask for something that they were too afraid to ask for in the past. Another thing I want you guys to think about is, in order to generate about $50,000 a year in almost passive online income from a book would require amassing a $1 million portfolio generating a 5% return. So not needing to have startup capital is one reason why I'm so bullish on building online real estate. There's almost no risk except for putting your education and creativity to use. So for folks who don't believe they have creativity, I will challenge you that you do. You absolutely do. Think about the time when you're a kid, you know, grade school and art class and writing class, and your mind just flourished with tons and tons of ideas. And then, you know, just the institution and work and all that just kind of, you know, shapes you into this one-dimensional, two-dimensional person. Look inside. Think about your creativity. There's a lot of things you can add to this world, and it doesn't have to be something amazing, or just impactful to millions. You know, you can just focus on a little niche like I have done. Finally, for alternative investments, I invested in my first venture capital fund. This is a 10-year fund, $600 million run by Kleiner Perkins, which is one of the blue chip VC funds or firms in the San Francisco Bay Area, or if not the world. But they didn't have really good returns over the past 10 years. They missed a lot of stuff. And, you know, funds like Sequoia and so forth did much better. But that said, I know the general partner who's going to manage the fund. He seems to have a good track record. And I was like, well, it's a $140,000 investment, which is the most I could have gotten because it was oversubscribed by $600 million. And I thought it would be a good way to leg in to VC and understand VC more, maybe get invited to, you know, the holiday party, right? And then also get invited to invest in other funds just in case this team does really, really well. You get first dibs if you're an original fund investor. And one reader said, you know, why are you investing in a VC fund, early stage VC fund, if you don't like angel investing? Well, the reason is I don't trust myself to do proper angel investing, because why would anybody give me first dibs? The best deals go to the blue chip VC firms first. And so I figured that is a way for me to hedge myself and also to gain some action and exposure. So that's about it, folks. I think that my wife and I should have enough to live a comfortable retirement lifestyle in San Francisco or Honolulu. The key for us has been keeping lifestyle inflation at bay. So I got to tell you, I'm pretty addicted to looking at nicer homes, larger homes, ever since my son was born in 2017. And it's kind of like my addiction to buying a car. I went to the car dealership probably once a week just to sit in some new fancy cars on the way home, because I love the new car smell. I love checking out new cars, but I didn't like to spend any money. So for the house, I want to buy a nicer house, but you know, I've been able to keep that desire bay. And so that has really helped us generate more savings and more investment income. So what I find most interesting about this whole exercise, which I hope all of you guys do if you're planning on retiring, is that even though mathematically I shouldn't have a problem retiring, I still have trepidation about selling Financial Samurai and retiring again. It's all about change. Like, change is always hard, especially if you've been doing something, one thing, for 10 years in a row. You just know the future. You're just comfortable, you know, going into the office, getting your coffee, saying hi to Joe and Mary, and just doing your job. And leaving that job, it's a little difficult. So leaving Financial Samurai and, you know, selling it to someone who I don't know well, but hopefully who will be a good steward, is going to be really, really weird. And especially if I lose that active income, and then I've got to take care of one child or two child, if we're blessed, then that might be a little weird. And another thing that a couple readers have pointed out was that I did not include the potential passive income that I could generate from the sale of Financial Samurai. And that's something I didn't include because it's not a sure thing. I don't know exactly what the value will be despite all my conversations. And, you know, it's something to talk about in the future, because this podcast is already long enough. So eventually we're going to have to start spending our retirement portfolio income. But as of now, we plan to continue reinvesting 100% of our investment income and saving 80% or more of our active income until a retirement decision is made. I think it's actually really, really fun. If you have a target date for when you want to retire, challenge yourself to save and invest like you've never saved and invested before. You know it's only going to last for that period of time. And then once you let go and leave your job or sell your business, I think you're going to feel good that you did the best you could with what you had. So thanks so much, everyone. If you see any holes in my portfolio, let me know, and feel free to discuss what you're planning on doing before retiring as well in the post.